Yes, 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 yes. You know what time it is. It is drive time. You are tuned in to WGXC.org, 90.7 FM, Hudson Acre Catskill.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
I know, I always say Hudson Acre Catskill.
Do it again, do it again, do it again.
WGXC Acre.
All right.
But shout out to Hudson and Catskill.
Yeah, thank you,
and all the surrounding areas that received the broadcast. This is The Grand. I'm here with Big Vern. What's going on, people?
What's up, dog? Ray, we got a great show today, man.
Yeah, we do.
Action-packed show.
Definitely.
First up, we have Laura Marks. She came in last year. We were dealing with a great tragedy to our city and our community. And she came in. She helped us out. And but she doesn't work just last year. Like, she has a full-time job. This is what she always does. So it's about that time again. So we brought her in. We're going to talk suicide, suicide walk, and everything like that. So now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to introduce, and Laura, I never get your title right. So, because I even asked Slay, I said, Slay, can you email me her title? And I don't want to mess it up. So I know your name is Laura Marks. I know, wait, what do I know, Ray? How about if I just say your name and you just take it from there?
Absolutely.
All right. Nice and loud.
So I'm Laura Marks. I'm the area director of our Capital Region chapter of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have got that right either.
Yeah, see?
There's a lot of words there, yeah.
So what is your job? What do you do? Because last year, like I said, you were here when we were in a time of need. But what is your day-to-day job? What do you do?
Right, so our organization is really focused on providing resources and support and education for suicide prevention all throughout the Capital Region. So we serve 15 counties in New York State, which includes Columbia Green. We do all kinds of things, programs in the schools, support for those who have lost someone to suicide, you know, programs that go across the spectrum. We do training for the community. I was just doing two Safe Talk trainings in Catskill this morning. So just really spreading awareness, getting people to understand what suicide is really about and how we can help people and what resources are available to us locally that a lot are free of charge that people just don't know about.
Oh, okay. And there's an event coming up, right?
There is.
So let's talk about that a little bit, and then I have some questions. Ray better have some questions. So the event, it's a suicide walk, right?
It is. So it's our Out of the Darkness walks, and they're kind of what the title is. So we want to bring suicide out of the darkness and into the light so that people understand what it's really about and that we all have a role in helping. You know, there's a community that can come together and really help people that are struggling. So our walk is in Catskill this year. It's our Columbia Green Walk. We switch each year between Columbia and Green counties. So we're going to be in Catskill at Dutchman's Landing on October 3rd. And anybody is welcome to join us. It is a fundraising event. So we do ask for either fundraising or donations, but we never turn anyone away. It's really about support and awareness and coming together in the community.
Yeah, we took part in it last year. The Drive Time Show, The Scrapers. We had a good time. We will be there. Actually, what we are thinking about doing is putting a team together and going over to Catskill, Green County, and repping for Columbia County. So anybody that wants to join our team, just let us know. We're going to go over there deep. Probably, I'm trying to go, what, Ray, 40 deep?
Why not?
40,
I think
40
we can
is
do
a good
it.
Number, right?
I think we can pull it off.
I hope so, man.
I believe so.
Yeah. So I want to ask you some questions, and these are myths. They're not questions. They're myths. But we'll talk a little bit into detail. So I looked up some popular myths, and I'm going to ask you, and you either true or false, and explain it the best you can.
Okay.
Deal?
I'm ready.
Suicides peak during the holidays.
It's actually a myth. It's what most people think, because sometimes you'll hear a story that a person alone for the holidays takes their life. Statistically speaking, we know that in the springtime is when the suicide rate begins to rise.
Okay.
There's no really set theory on that. They've come up with a couple of theories. There's really no statistical reason for it. Some of the theories are in that the winter you have, you know, people have been inside, especially in the Northeast. And then as springtime comes, people are feeling better. They're getting outside more. It's a time of rebirth, except when you're depressed or have a mental illness, you know, springtime doesn't help that. And so it makes you, if you feel like it should, but it actually makes you feel worse.
Oh, okay. The number here, 518-828-0290. 518-828-0290. You can call in and join in with these questions. Ray, you want me to keep going? You got anything off the top?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, I got a bunch, man. I'm ready. Teens are at the greatest risk.
The actual highest rate of suicide right now is middle-aged men, ages 45 to 54. But we do know that youth, age 10 to 24, it's their third leading cause of death among youth. And we also know that if we can work with youth early on to start to recognize the signs of depression, mental illness, and even suicidal thoughts, and get them into help-seeking behaviors, to know that it's okay to get help, that there are people around that will help them, that's how we know that as they grow older into that middle-aged male age group, they can be able to access services.
Okay. Depression is always the cause of suicide.
So we know that 90% of people who die by suicide have a diagnosable and treatable mental illness, typically depression. Sometimes it goes either undiagnosed or untreated appropriately.
That was actually one of my questions.
That was? I told you to go. Do you have, go take one now, because I'm hogging. I'm hogging up all the time, though.
No, I'm actually curious. You know, you see it in the movies and stuff like that with people who commit suicide. How typical is it for a person to leave, like, a note or something like that kind of gives their rationale behind why they've taken their lives?
It's actually pretty uncommon. It's okay. About 20% of people leave a note. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, you know, when someone doesn't leave a note, we think, well, if there was a note, that would explain it why. But mm-hmm. even when there is a note left, it often doesn't really explain why. Because what we know is that suicide is really complex. Mm-hmm. There's no one reason why someone takes their life. It's usually multiple of things, a lot of contributing factors that can cause someone to do that.
Poor countries have higher suicide rates.
Not necessarily. You know, suicide cuts across all demographics. So why we know that certain people are at higher risk, it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor or young or old or what color your skin is, and no one is immune to suicide. Mm-hmm. And so in poorer countries, it could be access to services to treat mental illness. But we know that suicide rates are pretty stable across different countries.
And V, you had some more questions?
Yeah. You don't have any?
Yeah, I have questions. But, I was liking these myths. I'm dispelling these myths, man.
I'm liking this line of questioning. I'm on fire right now. You ready?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, Laura. Most suicide attempts fail.
Well, what we know is that there's about 1.1 million suicide attempts every year, and we know that over 40,000 people take their life each year in the United States. So if you look at those numbers, we know that there are people who live after an attempt, and we don't like to call them failed attempts because the person's still alive.
Okay.
So we like to talk about how how they're still living, because we know that they can, that's how we know that we can save people.
Okay. I wanted to know, how beneficial are the trainings that you guys provide? Because you said you had some trainings this morning. How beneficial are those trainings to people who may not be aware of what, you know, goes into the complexity of suicide?
Right. The trainings are meant for anybody in the community, which is really great, because a lot of people, they'll see a suicide prevention training and they'll automatically assume that, you know, they have to be a mental health worker or someone in the field. And the trainings are really meant for people in the community so that they can begin to recognize the warning signs of suicide and then know what resources are available to connect people with. Mm-hmm. So just as you would want to train someone in CPR or first aid so that, you know, you're in a playground, someone's having a heart attack or gets hurt, you can be able to kind of triage the situation and get them to help. That's what we want with suicide prevention. So we want a lot of community alert helpers who can recognize the signs and then get people to the help that they need.
My turn, Ray?
Yeah.
Suicide is more common now than it was in the past.
The suicide rate has continued to climb since about the year 2000. Over the past here's where I get technical with numbers. So between 2011 and 2013, while the number raised a little bit, so did the population. So that's the first time in several years that the suicide rate actually remained the same. So that's kind of good news in that it didn't continue to climb. Our goal at the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention is actually to reduce the suicide rate by 20% by 2025. And we're putting in some measures in how to do that and what populations to hit and what services and programs we need in the community in order to do that.
That was a good segue.
Because
my next one, Ray, I'm cutting in front of you. But, treatment cuts suicide risk. Is that true?
Well, if we know that 90% of people who die by suicide have a mental illness, getting treatment for that mental illness will certainly help with the suicide risk. So we want people to access services, to know that treatment and help is available while they're struggling with their mental health issues before it even gets to suicidal thoughts. So one of, you talked about trainings. One of the new trainings that we've been really working on getting out to the community is called Mental Health First Aid. Mm-hmm. So while a lot of our trainings had focused on looking at the warning signs of suicide, Mental Health First Aid actually backs it up a little bit and looks at the warning signs of when someone is in a mental health crisis so we can get them to help before it even turns into those suicidal thoughts.
See, cool. That just gave me two segues. Thank you.
Go ahead.
can you give us some of one of the most, a couple of the most standard, what's the word I'm looking for? Warning signs.
Sure.
That a person may need to at least get checked for.
Right, that's two words.
Yeah, sorry.
All right.
No, go ahead. Be messing with me today.
So, you know, warning signs can really be can be anything, and people are really creative and unique and can come up with their own. But what you want to look for is withdrawing from family or friends or activities that they really once liked to do. Isolation, so no longer being with people, really wanting to be by themselves. You're looking for changes in behavior, really significant changes. And whenever we think of a change, we always think of something negative, right? So going from something that was good to bad. But we want to be careful of positive changes in behavior, because if it's significant enough, that can be a clue that something more is going on. So for example, if we have a student who is in the back of a classroom, never really participated, never really cared about what he looked like, teachers had been working with him, and suddenly he moved up a little bit, was raising his hand and looked a little bit better. And we thought, oh, you know, we finally got through to this kid. And what the child's really thinking is that they don't want to be remembered as the kid in the back of the classroom. So he was changing his appearance and his actions as his suicidal thoughts grew.
Oh, man.
Wow.
We also want to look for changes in sleep patterns. You know, any of those things where you're noticing a change in somebody may be a clue that something more is going on.
Suicides can trigger copycat attempts.
So there is such thing as a suicide contagion or a suicide pod. There have been some in the Capital Region area over, you know, the past 5 to 10 years. It happens with youth, not so much with adults. And it's really important if there's a suicide in a community to be able to work with the community, with the school, so that you don't have those contagions or pods. How you memorialize someone who has died by suicide, if you talk about, you know, we always talk about safe messaging. So you don't want to talk about the method of how someone died. And you always want to give some kind of a resource, which I know we're going to talk about the Lifeline as well. But you always want to let people know, so that if people are listening to the show and they're struggling, there is someone they can reach out to. There's somewhere they can call. And all those things reduce that chance of suicide contagion.
Good. Oh, you want me to keep going?
Okay. I got something brewing. But.
Yeah, all right. I'm in control right now. Okay, and another segue. Fewer people are calling the hotlines.
Oh, I think you finally stumped the expert.
Uh-oh. Ray, can I give myself the clap?
Yeah, you got it.
All right. Diddy, you heard that? Right. Now, you can make it up because we won't know the difference. You just can make whatever. No. Hold on. I want to give myself the clap. There go Diddy right there. Okay.
So I'm actually not sure if that's true or not. I do know that the Lifeline number is a number that we always give out as a resource because it's a 24-hour day, 7 day a week crisis response that somebody can call. You know, not all things happen Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, when there's doctors available. So we always give out that Lifeline number. And for our youth, you can go to their website at suicidelifeline.org and do their online chat, because we know our youth don't always like to talk on the phone. Yeah. And so it does provide a resource that anybody has access to.
Diddy's in the building. Normally we'll go into Diddy's anthem, but we're going to save that for later. We're doing important things. Diddy, obviously, and not saying that you're not important, Diddy. You know you are important, dog. But Diddy, obviously, you know I'm Laura. I know you were listening on the way in. You have any questions for her? Because I'm on a roll, dog.
Yeah, no,
I'm sparking, baby.
I see. Thank you, Laura, for coming in, as always. One thing I wanted to say, how can you open up that dialogue with your kids or, you know, with someone who you may think is at risk? Because one thing I always hear when something tragic happens is, this person was so happy. Like, I don't get it.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, sometimes we see those suicides, or we think about those suicides that seem like there were no warning signs. We had no idea that it was coming. Mm-hmm. And so What we know is that 80% of the time, people will give some kind of warning sign that they're having thoughts of suicide. Sometimes we miss those warning signs, or we don't connect with the idea that it's a possibility. But really, it is about open and honest communication, and we know that that is the best way to prevent suicide. So if you're worried about somebody, if you're seeing some of those warning signs, just talk about it. That's exactly what we were training on this morning in Catskill, was just, saying the word suicide. Are you thinking of suicide? It's important to get that word out there. We want to be clear and direct, and that's how we're going to get our answers. And then, if you ask that question and they say yes, you got to know what you can do about it. You have to know what your resources are within the community. Is it a 911 call? Is it a trip to the emergency room? Is it your county mental health office clinic? And so, just starting the conversation. I noticed that you've been withdrawing from family and friends. Your grades are dropping in school and you're really sad all the time. Are you thinking about suicide? It's as easy as that. Just noticing what's going on with someone.
All right. Ray, you want me to go?
I want to ask, and in conjunction with that, what do you do when say it's a teenager and they're really reluctant, or they're very strong-minded about not talking, or they're, oh, everything's fine. A lot of people nowadays, they get that brush off. Oh, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. You're worrying too much.
Right. If you're really worried about somebody, then you need to pursue it. And sometimes it needs to be the right person. And what we train our teenagers in is, they have to have a trusted adult. And so, it has to be someone of their choosing. Oftentimes with teens, it's not going to be their parents. But it has to be somebody. It could be a friend's parent. It could be a friend's older sibling. It could be a teacher in school, a guidance counselor, somebody that they can talk to about anything and can keep them safe and get them the help that they need. So you may not be the right person asking those questions, but find the right person. There is a right person somewhere. Really encourage them to go talk to somebody.
Suicides are more common on the weekends.
I have not heard that one either.
That's too angry.
You really, I know, you really did your research.
Slay, I'm on a roll, baby.
So what's the answer to that one? You can't leave me hanging.
No, we want your answer. Yeah. We want your answer.
I would say, I actually don't know the answer to this one. I would say probably a little bit because, again, of access to services and what's available on the weekends. And also, if people are increasing use of alcohol, sometimes if someone is depressed or having, struggling, definitely alcohol involvement can lead to increased suicide.
Slay?
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm good?
Yeah.
All right. You answered this one by accident. You did. Because it says men are at greater risk. And you said men over 45 or... I forget the exact number. But
well, actually, that's kind of a trick question. So we know that the middle-aged men have the highest rate of suicide, but actually women attempt more often than men. Men complete more often than women do. So,
is that because of the methods?
Yeah, men typically would go for a more lethal method than women.
Hmm. Is it true that depression is more common than AIDS, cancer, and diabetes combined?
We know that... mental illness, including depression, is I don't know if it's more common than those, but it is common. But people often seek treatment less often than they would for a physical disease. If you had diabetes or a heart condition, you would automatically go to the doctor, take your medication and do what you need to do to get better. And people often don't do that with depression or other mental illnesses because of the stigma that surrounds it. We also are learning more about anxiety, and a lot of people don't think that anxiety is related to depression or suicide, but it is. And again, it's something that is treatable and something you can get help for.
Is it hereditary?
Mental illness is hereditary. So suicide is not, but the mental illness that leads to suicide can be hereditary. We also know that though, if there has been a suicide in the family, you may be at greater risk for suicide yourself. Sometimes it's seen as an acceptable way out within the family system.
All right, here's a question. I didn't even Google this one. This one's coming right off my head.
Uh-oh, now I'm worried.
No Google, no nothing. But it's going to be more of a myth kind of question. Is it true that nearly everyone at some point considers suicide?
You know, suicidal thoughts are fairly common and people have them. They could be just fleeting, and it doesn't, and even someone who's having suicidal thoughts, it doesn't mean that they're ever going to act on them. But if someone is exhibiting the signs of having suicidal thoughts or talking about it, we really want to get them help. We want to take every talk or every action of suicide seriously, especially because we know that there is help available.
Mm-hmm. That's all the questions I got.
I got one more. How much does bullying play in? I just was reading before I got here about a school shooting in Seattle that happened recently that was a very bad shooting. And I know the young man left a letter to his family, and he was talking about having, you know, got into a fight on the football team, and he detailed a bunch of other stuff. But how much, you know, does bullying play into a youth or anyone, an adult even, because, you know, there's adult bullying and stuff like that play into suicide?
Right. We consider bullying a contributing factor. So suicide is very complex, and there's lots of reasons and lots of contributing factors that go into someone having suicidal thoughts or taking action on that. We consider it a contributing factor because it's one of those things. Chances are there's other things that are going on with that youth that is also contributing to their thoughts of suicide, because there are a lot of kids that bully that never have suicidal thoughts. So we need to figure out all of the things that are going on with that.
All right. Ray?
I do actually have a question from my brother.
Okay.
He texted me and asked, what are your thoughts on medication that can cause suicidal thoughts? Because we have a mutual friend that it happened to his brother. He was taking medication, and the medication actually had an adverse effect.
You know, medications are hard. We know that medications can be helpful and they could treat mental illness. We also know that not the right medication is right for everybody. Sometimes there's cocktails of medications that are needed. You need to have a really good relationship with your doctor. You need to be able to go back to your doctor and say, this isn't working. I'm not feeling better. I'm feeling worse. Here's the side effects. Medication can be helpful, but it really needs to be taken in the right dose, in the right way. And, you know, we're an instant gratification society. We want to take a pill and we want to feel better the next day. And with medications for mental illness, that often doesn't happen. Sometimes it could take weeks or months before you really feel the effects of it to know that it's the right medication for you.
Well, next day, if I take aspirin, I want it to happen right away, yeah, right when it go down. Can't wait a whole day. Yeah,
wait that hour. Yeah.
And, like, you know, they're working on new medications that have faster times. You know, they're doing research on medications that start working, you know, the next day or the next week, so that you can start feeling better, knowing that you don't have to continue to feel that way.
And I think that's a lot of medications, especially for things like depression, you can't put in liquid form, which is fat. It absorbs into the body faster, but you can't put them in those forms. So you have to kind of like deal with waiting for the medication and kind of,
not to go too left with it, but it, most of the time, especially with some kind of a mental illness, once you start taking medication and you start to feel better, you should continue to take the medication only because the reason why you feel better is because of the medication.
Right.
Once you stop taking it.
But people don't often realize that. Like, they're like, oh, I'm better. You know, who wants to be on medication?
Yeah, that's the thing about it.
You know, what we're talking about with mental illness is really brain chemicals. And that medication is needed to get your brain chemicals back in adjustment. You know, so again, just like you would go to the doctor and you would take your insulin, if you would have diabetes, you need to take your medication, you know, as it works for mental illness.
Okay, so let's talk about the suicide walk again before we let you go, and give out any information that's needed. Ray's gonna take the number. I mean, we want you to give out the hotline number. Is it the hotline? Do they name it something else?
No, it's a suicide prevention hotline. It's 1-800-273-TALK. Again, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We'll help you through that crisis. They can provide you with local information after to get continued help, but they're really going to help you through that crisis in the moment. SuicideLifeline.org will give you that the online chat feature.
Okay, and let's talk about the walk one more time. Remind everybody, Slay. I told Laura.
Yeah, her.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
I'm with it.
All right. Yeah. I also told her. I'm sorry. I also told her that from today until the actual event, each week we are going to talk about it, remind people of the walk, and try to recruit as many people as possible.
Yeah, yeah, and we owe you that.
Yeah.
Because the fact that you came last year, out of, you know, spur of the moment email in the middle of the night, and she was there, you know, a couple of days later, you know, we really respect that. And, you know, so we're definitely going to help, you know, push this for you.
Right. Well, yep. I respect what you guys do. You know, you're taking this information and you're getting it out to the community. And that's what we need. We need people to be aware. We need people to be educated and understand what it's all about and really debunk some of those myths that we talked about today. Yeah. But so please join us October 3rd, Dutchman's Landing in Catskill. All are welcome. You know, we're there for a reason. But it's also, you leave feeling hopeful. Because you know you've now been with 300 other people who've walked in your shoes, who've understand how you felt, and you know that there's hope that we can go on and we can spread the word and we can help others. So if you go to afsp.org/CRNY walks, you can register online. It has information on that page and has my contact information. Any issues, questions, please contact me. I'm always here to help. Obviously, you said middle of the night, you sent an email. So we're always here. We're a resource for you in the community. Please reach out to us, and we'd love to see you on October 3rd.
Well, can you give us that that URL again?
Yep. AFSP.org /CRNY walks, and it's the Columbia Green Walk in Catskill on October 3rd.
You did an outstanding job. I do feel happy that I was able to stump you. I didn't even try. But I am glad about
that. I'm
going
to have to study before I come next time.
Yeah. So thank you, and we will see you on October 3rd. Let me give you the clap, and it's always a pleasure. And come back whenever you want to. You can call in. You can Skype in. But we will push this into the actual date of the walk.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.